Music's on the Menu, broadcasting live from CITR at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver on the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined
I'm Hugh Dana.
Hugh Dana, as typical. And yeah, we'll be talking about some of the music that came out this week. A pretty good week for music. A lot of stuff dropped.
We've been needing one of these weeks.
Yeah, big week.
Returning after the Metro Boomin tournament win.
Yeah.
So this week, today is March 2nd, but all the music dropped 1 week ago on February 24th. We had new albums from Don Toliver, Logic, Yeet. We had new music from The Weeknd, who dropped a remix with Ariana Grande. Kid Laroi had another single. We had Halsey, Jonas Brothers. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we could unpack here. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll start. Karol G also dropped an album for all you Latin fans. I know that's not you, Alex, but
No hablo español. Siempre difícil.
But I think we should start at Don Toliver.
Yes, so, I agree.
Don Toliver dropped his third studio album, Lovesick. The deluxe has already dropped, which is kind of strange, but maybe not.
I don't know.
16 tracks with like an A. Every feature is like an A tier. The feature list is kind of crazy.
The feature list is A tier.
Yeah.
The list itself, what the features do, may not necessarily be A tier.
So, I mean, he has James Blake, Lil Durk, Glorilla, Kali Uchis. It says Tisa Korean, but I don't know where he is on that song, to be honest. Then he has a song with Justin Bieber and Future. He's got Wizkid. He's got 90s crooner Charlie Wilson, Brent Faiyaz, creative Toru Imoy. And then on the deluxe, he's got Travis and Tizo Touchdown. So this is like a real tier A rap album feature list.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not a tier A album.
No.
It's
grown on me the more I've listened to it. I've definitely been enjoying it more like lately versus the first time I heard it. But
what did you feel the first time you heard it?
First time I heard it, before I even got into it, I was looking through the credits because I wanted to see who the producers were, because I was really looking for that man Metro Boomin's name. Because as we talked about last week and on the first episode we ever did of this, I assume we mentioned it last week. I don't even remember anything anymore.
Yeah.
Is Don Toliver's songs on that Metro Boomin album, Around Me and Too Many Nights, were both excellent.
Yep, excellent.
They were both.
His contribution to those songs were excellent.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, his contribution to the songs were excellent. The songs were excellent. And so I was hoping and kind of expecting for there to be Metro Boomin production on this album, considering that Don played an important role on that album. He was, he was on those tracks, he was on an interlude, he was throughout the record, so I assumed that maybe that would be foreshadowing for Metro to produce something on this album, and unless I'm sorely mistaken, I don't think he is, which...
I never heard him. I never heard his tag, at least.
Yeah, I never heard his tag either. So, that's kind of disappointing.
I mean, I think the production overall is kind of disappointing. Maybe it's because Don Toliver is, like, Travis Scott's protege, and, like, one thing you kind of expect with Travis Scott is, like, this kind of illustrious production, or just this very unique and really, like, absorbing production. And that was kind of lacking on most tracks. Now, there is some dope production on, like, For Me, with Kali Uchis is dope. I like the production on Bus Stop. But like you mentioned, the tracks on this, or like since Don Toliver's last record, which was Life of a Don, which you and I have discussed, we kind of thought it was underwhelming. His appearances everywhere else have been great, kind of like Lil Baby. Like his features on the SZA record were dope, everything Around Me on...
Mm-hmm.
Heroes and Villains is dope. I mean, obviously, like, Lemonade.
Yeah.
Great. His and Hers, dope. The Internet Money tracks. But similar to the last Don Toliver album, there is no great songs.
Yeah.
You and I kind of were like, if we ranked everything from 1 to 10.
Yeah, if we put everything on like if we graded every song on a scale of 10, it's a lot of like 4s to 7s.
Yeah. And the 7s, there's maybe only like 3, man.
Yeah. Like nothing's offensively bad.
No, no.
But
nothing's great.
Nothing's great.
Which I find disappointing. And I think it really hampers the album to me because, I mean, I really like the tracks For Me with Caliucci's. I really like If I Had It with Charlie Wilson. And I like Slow Motion with Wizkid. But then there's songs like Private Landing is so disappointing that it's almost like bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not sure what Justin Bieber's doing on that track. Yeah. I mean, he's rapping and it's not bad. But like,
but
Don Toliver and Justin Bieber could have made such a dope singing song.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say that. They could have been singing their hearts out there. But instead, Bieber comes in sounding like he's having intercourse with the instrumental.
Yeah, what is... I don't
and
The future verse is good. It's just like a classic Future verse.
Future's doing his thing. But yeah, that song is... Because when you see the names Don Toliver, Justin Bieber, and Future, like when you see kind of Bieber anywhere near this genre... For me, anyway, it's like, oh, that's interesting. That's,
yeah,
like kind of an odd combination.
Add
so,
Future onto that, man.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, exactly. Future kind of makes this whole thing an odd combination because it's two different abilities and strengths between those two. And so, like, thinking about, say, the last time Justin Bieber came into the, or at least the. I'm comparing this song to like Maria I'm Drunk on Rodeo by Travis Scott, which yeah, I know, incomparable. But I'm using it as
he's
an example.
He's rapping on Maria I'm Drunk.
Though. Yeah, yeah, he is. But I'm just using it as an example of having an odd combination like this. It can either like come out working in beautifully like it did with Maria I'm Drunk, but in this case you notice the incompatibilities between these people, maybe.
I also think,
and you see that going out there, you know, it either works great or it just doesn't work, and because there's not a lot, and because like the overlap is not really there, it's you're not going to just get like a mid-level thing.
I completely agree, and I wonder if when I saw the features, I was like, holy crap! But then I looked at the name and I saw Private Landing, and my expectations immediately drop because I feel like, okay, well, you know what the song's going to be about, and that kind of boxes them in.
Yeah.
It's going to be about just, like, living rich, chicks, private plane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the track after that...
Touching down in Miami.
The track after that, Slow Motion with Wizkid, I think is good.
Yeah.
That's, like, my second favorite song on the record, yeah. I think. I like Wizkid.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... The melody here is good.
One of the aforementioned sevens.
Yeah, this is 7. I like For Me is a 7. And I'd say If I Had is a 7.
I like Bus Stop as well.
Yeah.
Bus Stop might be...
Bus Stop's good.
I feel like I've heard... Speaking just on the subject of Bus Stop with Brent Faiyaz, I feel like I've heard Brent say those... Like, the words in his verse. For some reason, I feel like I've heard him say those exact things before. Like, I don't feel like the lyrics are that different from something else I've heard, but I can't put my finger on it.
I don't know. How much Brent Faiyaz do you listen to?
Not much.
Okay.
At all. But just something about the rolling in a drop top with the girl. I don't know. It sounded familiar. It sounded like I had heard it somewhere else as well. But maybe that
the
was...
The last time you heard Brent Faiyaz, was it on Lost Souls?
I'm probably comparing it to Lost Souls.
That's a dope song, man. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much my main gripe with this album, and kind of my worry now, because now that's, so, Heavener, so his first mixtape, which came, so, I mean, the first time I hear about Don Toliver is obviously on Astroworld.
Yeah.
I think that's his first piece of music ever.
At least.
I mean, that song is dope,
Yeah, Can't Say is amazing.
And
that
then,
was when Don Toliver was introduced to the world.
And then, the day before that song came out, he had dropped his debut mixtape, Donnie Womack, and because I remember listening to Can't Say, and I was like, who is this guy? So I went on Genius, and they said Don Toliver, and I looked it up, and I listened to Donnie Womack, and I was like, oh, wow. Like, these are pretty good. This guy's almost got it. Like, every song is good.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing great yet, but I see it. And then his next record comes out during COVID, and I really enjoyed it. Heaven or Hell, it had Cardigan, No Idea, the super slow song with Travis. And I was like, okay, there's some improvement. But then Life of a Dawn felt the same. There was good, nothing great. Mm-hmm. And this is the same. So I guess I'm just disappointed because his features are great. Like, yeah. His part on the SZA album is, there's nothing as good as, like, he has, like, one verse and a kind of a bridge. And that is better than, I think, everything on this album. And that really disappoints me because I know Don Toliver can make a 9 or 10 song. Like, mm-hmm. Can't Say.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And the rollout for this album was so dope.
Yeah, he had those reels on his Instagram story of, like, him in a cafe and at home as well. It's kind of like a mini film kind of through the reels he was rolling out there on Instagram.
It was like late 60s, 70s vibes. It was like you got the vibe. And now, I mean, Lovesick is the title, and every song is kind of about girls, so I get it. There's no, like, thematic itinerary, which is not, like, a problem.
No.
And this is not a bad album. I feel like we're kind of ripping into it. I think we're just a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I just expect more from Don Toliver.
Exactly.
Better.
Yeah. He can do better. We've heard better. And that guy has such a unique voice.
Mm-hmm.
I love the sound of Don Toliver's voice. I love that he exists in the zeitgeist for him to be brought onto songs and to sound the way he sounds, because he's got a dope voice. And he can use it really well. But, yeah, like, the beyond just the singing, which I think is pretty good across the album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that guy can sing his tail off.
Yeah, he's... Performance-wise, he's good.
Yeah.
The melodies aren't great.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, and the ideas... Ideas is an issue with this one. It's a lot of... a lot of stripper talk, a lot of drug talk, which, not a problem.
No.
Inherently, but it's kind of the only thing going on this record.
Yeah, like if that's gonna be like the bulk of your themes and the meat of your songs, the melody's gotta be killer.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, with all of this tearing down, it has grown on me.
Exactly, it has grown on me. Although, yeah, I am kind of speaking about this in. I don't fully have an opinion on everything yet. Like it's not. It's, I don't know if I'd go back to it that much beyond this week.
Me too.
But.
Like those three songs I mentioned, I'll throw them in like my workout playlist or my giant shuffle playlist then.
Yeah. Like it's got merits. But yeah, I don't like have a fully realized opinion on it, and I would have to think about it more and listen to it more to like really know how I feel about Don Toliver, but. Like with this and with Life of a Dawn, like on impact, it's not a lot.
Yeah,
and
which is frustrating. Because he can be great.
Yeah, because you hear the talent, and when he's on point, you see the vision, and it's just an issue of him fully realizing it.
Yeah.
And
were there any one-listen wonders for you? Just songs you hear once and you're like, nope,
done. I don't really remember. Like, Cinderella's kind of weird.
I didn't like Do It Right.
Do It Right?
Yeah, like the single.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little monotonous. I don't know. Maybe I'm too critical because I was kind of excited for this record.
Yeah.
It's hard
to fully know how you feel about something after a week, especially when you're already mixed on it.
Yeah. That's fair. We'll see. I mean...
Yeah, this definitely still goes in the we'll see category.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I expect him to still be great beyond this.
No, yeah, this album doesn't end his career or probably curtail any of the plans he had for himself going forward. Because just when you sound the way he sounds, I think you're always going to be an in-demand person. And he hangs out with the right people, too. To keep getting noticed and having connections.
Yeah, I'm looking at...
He can provide a lot to a song as a feature. As no, just someone you come in...
as a feature, man.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the... Yeah.
You're looking at the
I
what?
Was looking at the streams on his last record because... And it streamed incredibly well. Like, he's still got a huge fan base that continue, like, I continue to come back, even though this is now the second album where I'm like, I wanted more, or I leave wanting more. I mean, but you just know that he's that good, man. So, anyways, should we conclude this conversation?
Yeah, I might as well.
All right.
That's kind of how we do we feel about Lovesick? Mixed.
Yep.
You know, it's like a 65.
Disappointed a little bit.
It's like a 65 out of 100.
Yeah.
It's got we don't have fully realized opinions on it yet, and honestly, this wasn't really a fully realized album either, so.
Fair.
don't sue us. Anyway.
Yeah, but I mean,
we'll get into the song that you have mentioned about three times already in this conversation in the 15 minutes we've been talking about it. For Me with Callie Uchis.
Yeah, so this is For Me with Callie Uchis, Don Toliver's girlfriend, and
that's his girlfriend?
Yeah, they've been dating for like 3 years, bro.
Oh, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah,
that's dope.
Their last song together, Drugs and Hella Melodies, is great. Oh. Have you heard that song?
No, I didn't even know they were a thing.
You know, I mean, I'm obviously you know who Callie Uchis is.
Yes, I know who Callie Uchis is.
She makes dope music, too.
Yes.
Anyways, this is For You, or For Me, featuring Callie Uchis by Don Toliver off of Lovesick.
No, it gets better, even in the rain, you gotta keep your head up. I let her tell it, she said she fed up. I'm like, whatever, when she mad, the sex better. I put the diamond on your fist, Rockefeller. I put the meat to you and now we here together. You're the only girl for me, you're the only girl I need, yeah. I need to hold my hand, baby. I need to feel your heart, baby, baby. I need you in my arms, yeah, yeah, yeah. I give you what you want, yeah, yeah. I told that DJ play my song, yeah, tonight. And that's how me and you get high. So you're the only girl for me. You're the only girl I need, yeah. You're the only girl for me. You're the only girl I need, yeah.
Have you ever considered going abroad to study a degree, work, volunteer, or learn a language? Mark Thursday, March 2nd in your calendar and get down to Vancouver Convention Center, East Building, to find out how. All the experts under one roof, top universities, professional schools, and student travel organizations feature seminar on scholarships. Starts at 1 p.m. and the expo opening starts at 2 p.m. and there's free admission. For more information, go online to www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Randomphonic is best thought of as an introversal jukebox which has no concept of genre, style, political boundaries, or even space-time relevance. But it does know good sounds from bad. Lately, the program has been focused on Philip Random's All Vinyl Countdown plus Apocalypse, the 1111th greatest records you probably haven't heard. And we're not afraid of noise. Randophomic, every Saturday at 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
I'm Christine Dibble.
And I'm Carla Slytome.
And we are the KNC Jazz Duo. And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Now we are pivoting from Don Toliver.
From Love Sick by Don Toliver to...
Someone who we've talked about a surprising amount on this, on this show, considering the short time we've had it, but he dropped an album, and I want to talk about it. Shout out to Logic, College Park, baby. This is an album where, unlike Don Toliver, where I was mixed on it, and... wasn't hugely impressed on first listen and was mixed on it to this day. This album, I think, is great.
Great.
I really like College Park a lot, man.
You're a big Logic guy, huh?
I've become a big Logic guy. I think, like, just throughout the album, the beats are strong, the performance is strong, the wordplay is great, the writing's great, the flows are great. The features of, like, just his buddies, basically.
Yeah, are they just, like, his friends?
Yeah, they're, like... The guys he came up with are like the features predominantly on the album, except for like Seth MacFarlane. Good lord, Seth MacFarlane's a feature.
Joey Badass, Nora Jones.
Yeah, Joey Badass, RZA,
Bun B. Wow, we got Bun B.
Anyway, a lot of features here. A lot of good features. People doing well.
Yeah, shout out Seth MacFarlane, man. Yeah, I love that. He's a Seth MacFarlane
and a good
feature,
and it comes along with a pretty cool or a nice concept as well. So
what is the concept?
Lots like it's the concept is
well, he's from Maryland, right?
Yeah.
So he's from college around College Park.
Yeah. So
is that a real picture? This album cover, is that like him 15, 20 years ago?
Kind of looks like him today.
Yeah.
But I think he's
his hairline's bad in that. So
yeah,
it can't be him as a kid.
I don't know where he is in that photo, but I think the concept of the album is pretty much entirely told through the skits. There's not a whole lot of mention of it in the songs itself. But the concept is just Logic and his buddies making their way down from College Park, Maryland to Washington, D.C. for Logic's first ever performance in front of like 150 people. And he's going with, like, his producer, Six, and his Rat Pack buddies is, like, what they called themselves. And so that's where guys like C-Dot Castro and Big Lembo come from.
Okay.
In the track list. Like, those are just Logic's boys.
Like, what about this Red Man?
Red Man?
No, this guy has, like, good streaming songs from the 90s. So.
Oh, okay. So then he's someone else. Anyway. But, yeah, I like the album a lot. What did you think about it?
I'm not a big Logic fan, and you know I'm not a big boom bappy rap fan either.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I did enjoy about this song, outside of obviously the Seth MacFarlane, shout out Seth MacFarlane, obviously I love Seth MacFarlane's work outside of music, the vibes were awesome. Mm-hmm. I love, the beats are dope. There's like a lot of sax, and there's a lot of like real instruments, drums. There's no like 808s or anything like that. The beats are awesome. It makes you feel like you're on a car ride. The wordplay is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to Logic in, man, years. I mean, I'd have to go back and see the last Logic album I listened to. I wouldn't actually have listened to this record, but you're like, hey, man, I think this is worth checking out. The last Logic album I listened to was... Bobby Tarantino 2.
Oof.
5 years ago.
Oof.
Yeah. This YSIV I did not listen to.
Young Sinatra 4.
And Supermarket, I watched Anthony Fantano rip that apart. So
yeah,
I've
not listened to Supermarket.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind sounds familiar.
Yeah, it had the song with Eminem on it. That blew up.
This thing streamed so well.
Yeah. What's the song
featuring
with Eminem?
My dad. Wow.
What's the song with Eminem on that?
Homicide.
Homicide, yeah, that one was a big hit.
So, I mean, yeah, I actually know that No Pressure is a good record.
Yeah, No Pressure. Yeah, probably because I've told you.
Well, also, like Fantano said, it was just like the pressure was off.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also heard that Bobby Tarantino 3 was bad. So, and then I heard Vinyl Days was good. And I like the vibe of this. This is cool.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say because, okay, like, I haven't listened to Logic in 5 years since I was in, like, 10th grade. But it's cool, man. It really is. Like you said, the beats are really strong and the wordplay is great. And that's what really sticks out to me. The skits are cool. I found them annoying on first listen because I was like, whoa, the song's already over?
Yeah, I think my biggest complaint with the album is not the skits necessarily, but the way he incorporates the skits, because a lot of the skits on this album are like a minute or over a minute long, which is long for a skit in a song. And if you're going to do that, I think you should make the skit its own separate song.
And didn't he do that on Vinyl Days?
Yeah, but those weren't skits in the same way. Like, those were more Vinyl Days. This is a whole narrative. Yeah, the Vinyl Days skits were more just people popping in being like, yo, what's up? It's Aaron Judge. and then the next track plays. And this, it's trying to actually tell a narrative. But yeah, I think with these minute-long skits being attached to the end of the songs, it makes it a little more annoying on re-listen if you want to listen to it out of order. Or if you're trying to put these songs in your playlist, certain songs are just, you're going to have to be aware when they're playing that I'm going to have to press the skip button a minute before the song actually ends to get to the next track.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise we're going to have a minute-long skit of Logic and his buddy at a drive-through getting a burger on their way down to DC. So that's like my only issue is I just wish the skits were separated from the tracks and made their own songs so that they weren't encroaching on the actual songs in the album. I think the most compelling part of the record for me in what like Logic actually talks about on the album is what he considers to be like the necessary evil of going pop, and because there was like a 4 year span, like 2016 to 2019 ish, where Logic was like one of the most disrespected people in hip hop, and it seemed like, you know, you want to say like, oh, the broad hip hop community, or at least the people who weren't already Logic fans, like the guy's reputation was in the gutter, and people were calling him corny.
Yeah,
and that was the main thing, was corny. People considered him to be really corny and whatnot. And he talked about that on No Pressure in 2020, and I think it came up again a bit on Vinyl Days. But I think this is the most he's further removed from that part of his career now, and he's kind of reflecting on it and being like, you'd go pop too if it meant a, you know, multi-million dollar record deal,
a billion streams, man.
Yeah, and you could feed your family for not just the now but way into the future as well off of it. Like,
still getting huge checks from 1-800, bro.
Yeah,
I mean, I assume that kind of destroyed him
in a way. Yeah,
even though the like, everyone who hates on it's gonna say that they enjoyed that song because it does have a billion streams.
Mm-hmm.
It has Alessia Cara and Khalid. It's a cool song, and it is a pop song though.
Yeah,
it's a whole pop song.
Yeah, 1-800. The song Hugh's referencing is Logic's biggest song.
Yeah,
it's a song about the 1-800 number.
That's
is
a suicide
the
hotline, right?
Yeah, the suicide prevention hotline. It's got a great message.
Yeah,
but I don't even
it's
know
a little
why.
Corny though. Well, he's saying, "I don't want to be alive."
Yeah.
Who can relate?
Yeah. Woo! Is not a good part of that song.
And he was already...
I like it. I like it overall.
It's a good song.
But anyway...
I liked it back then.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to listen to it again. I haven't listened to it in a long time.
But anyway, on this, he's addressing the criticism a bit, and also
I like how
just,
you called it a necessary evil.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, how he sees it. Is like... Because Logic's very much... It seems like he's like a hip hop purist.
Oh yeah,
you know, he doesn't.
Absolutely.
There's not a pop melody in sight
on
this album.
No, not on College Park.
So
except for Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, except for
he's just crooning, straight crooning.
Mm-hmm. Except for Seth MacFarlane's crooning, but yeah, and so I think he considered it a necessary evil to do it, because he talks about like doing it for the money, doing it for the fame, and kind of mocks people in certain parts, I think, mocking them of criticizing rappers for doing it for the fame, doing it for the money. And he's saying, like, well, look at me now. You know my name. I got millions in my bank account. Mm-hmm. My family's set up forever because of it. So, sure, I went pop, so sue me. I'm back now. I'm back to my roots. I don't have to do that anymore. I made the money, and now I'm just doing it for the love of the genre. And, yeah, it's clear that he loves hip-hop. It's clear that he loves making this type of music. And it's clear that he's creatively just in a much better place now than he was when he was probably trying to force the popular stuff a bit more and getting lambasted for it.
His second most streamed song is this song with Marshmello.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't help. That's actually a song I really liked. No, I really liked Midnight. Which is also kind of poppy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody know Abby.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's...
I don't know this Everyday one.
I think it... Okay, well...
Is that... What were you... Did you just...
Yeah. I work hard every day. Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that song.
Okay, anyway. Enough of me singing melodies on live radio. We're not doing that. But yeah, that's kind of my main takeaway from this album, is just him reflecting on... Or at least the most interesting part of the album to me is when he talks about sort of doing it for the money and for the fame for a bit. And now he's on the other side of that and he can just do what he wants and be more creatively free. And this is his first independently released album.
Yeah. Shout that out. That's dope.
Mm-hmm. So he's fully on his own here.
Yeah. And because of that, there was no clean version that we can find.
Yeah.
Because his production company is... 301, which I assume is the area code for College Park.
Probably. You don't name your... If I had a record label and I called it 604, you know?
3OH1.
OH?
Yeah. So you did want to play Lightsabers with C.Dot Castro, but unfortunately we cannot.
Do we have... It's only 11:32, man. A little early to transition, perhaps.
No, I'm just saying that we can't play a song, because I felt like you were building up to us playing a song.
Oh, okay. No.
Unfortunately, we can't, because it is an independent record, and I believe that the record labels release the clean versions.
That would make sense.
And because, like, you have to record clean versions.
Well, it seems like most of the clean versions are just cutting out somebody going through and cutting out the curse words.
Yeah, but you have to, like, record the other word that they input. Like, it's...
They don't always input a new word. Sometimes they just pull out the swear and just leave it empty.
That's true. I'm thinking of, like, radio. Like, if we went on Kiss FM, it wouldn't be empty.
Yeah.
But obviously, he doesn't have to do that because he's independent.
Which is unfortunate, so...
I mean, that's cool, though. I'd like to see how this... I mean, you're kind of more on the hip-hop. You're, like, on the hip-hop subreddit. I'm kind of on, like, the pop subreddit. Yeah. I would like to come back to this and see how it's received, because it is independent, and I mean, I'm afraid that, like, the people who listen to Don Toliver's record won't listen to this. They'll still think he's corny.
Yeah, which is frustrating.
It's not. It will be forever inescapable.
Which I find frustrating that people don't want to change, or people see him unwilling to change their perceptions, but they're also people don't have the time to go back and listen to every person they think is stupid and see if they're actually good now or what.
Yeah.
So,
like, when this dropped, I was back home with my friends and you telling me, and I was like, oh, should we listen to that Logic? I was like, should I play this Logic record? And they're like, what? No way, man. Like, Logic's bad. And those are guys who listened to 1-800 when it came out and listened to Everyday and Midnight. And I mean, the social norms kind of get to everyone, the societal kind of trends.
Yeah.
And it was a trend to dislike Logic.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that will stick forever, sadly, I think. I mean, it also didn't help that then he said he retired.
Yeah.
Like when it was kind of cooling down, because he kind of disappeared, and then he dropped a good record, and then he's like, oh, I'm retired. And everyone's like, you can't retire from rap.
But yeah, I can.
I know. But, oh no, he retired and everyone was okay, and then he came back was the problem.
Yeah, that was still, I don't, yeah. I see the retirement in more of a symbolic sense at this point, but it is still kind of weird to announce your retirement, have a nice send-off album, and then 6 months later, you drop Bobby Tarantino 3, and it's I'm back.
It's definitely contract obligations.
Yeah,
like when Frank Ocean dropped that Endless, that album mm-hmm. where he just builds the staircase to get out of his contract, and then he drops Blonde and he makes all the money off himself.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely wanted to retire. I think he probably wanted to make his music on his own label.
Yeah.
But he had to fulfill his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to come out with two more records.
Yeah.
And you said Vinyl Days is good.
Vinyl Days is quite good.
I actually saw Fantano say it was good. I mean, take what you want from Fantano. But I like his rap opinions.
Yeah.
And
I think it was a good album. And it operates in a similar vein as College Park. But I think I like College Park more than Vinyl Days.
From the bits I've heard of Vinyl Days, I didn't listen to it like I listened to College Park for this. I just love the vibe College Park gives.
Yeah.
And the beats are so dope, man.
The beats are strong on Vinyl Days, too. I'll give it that. But I think...
It's a different... Because I haven't listened to Logic for 5 years, mm-hmm. the last time I listened to Logic, he was like... I mean, I can't even remember. I don't think he was corny yet. I don't think he was that corny in 2018.
No, I think he was in 2018.
I can't remember, because I remember liking... Because
1-800, I think, was 2017. So that if that's the demarcation of pre-corny and post-corny... then anything he comes out after is in his quote-unquote corny era.
Yeah, and I think it was before that where everyone was like, whoa, you took the same intro to that Kendrick song. Like, the exact, you, like, kept it the same.
Oh, yeah, but that's, he does that on his first album, Under Pressure, on, I think it's the song Under Pressure, the opening to it sounds a whole lot like, Sing About Dying Me, I'm first, Dying of yeah. Thirst. So, but he makes reference to Kendrick and J. Cole and guys like that on this album too. Like,
that was dope wordplay.
He's a fan of modern rappers as well, and kind of idolizes them as well. Like, he has very modern influences.
How old is he?
He's like
30. Isn't he kind of their age though?
He's like 31.
Oh, maybe he's.
Like, he's a big.
I want to say Kendrick's what, 35?
Kendrick's about 35. Like, he's only same generation.
Yeah. But I guess Kendrick blew up when he was like 18. No.
When
did Overly Dedicated come out? Like
2010. Yeah.
So and then 23.
Section 80 Falls in 2011, and then 2012's Good Kid, Mad City. And wow. Logic was dropping stuff at the same time. He was just a bit younger, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, looking up to somebody who's coming up at the same time as you, but they're a bit older and doing it better. Got to throw that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to, on the subject of this album, we probably could talk a little bit more about Self-Medication with Seth MacFarlane.
I love that song, man, because I just love Seth MacFarlane. I mean,
I knew the guy before I had heard that song. I was aware of the fact that Seth MacFarlane can sing.
Oh, dude, he's good.
But he comes in on that song sounding like Frank Sinatra v2.0, and apparently he's trained by similar vocal trainers.
Dude, he's like a Broadway guy.
Yeah,
I mean, that dude is a man of insane talents. Mm-hmm. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, Seth MacFarlane is most widely known as the creator of Family Guy, but he also has like 7 or 8 albums.
Really?
It's a pretty popular Christmas album. But that was like around, it's kind of a derogatory album.
Hmm.
It talks about like Frosty the Snowman and stuff like that. But I love, Family Guy is like one of my favorite shows of all time. And just seeing him on a somewhat mainstream record is dope. And he's just crooning, man. It's just, it's kind of funny. But yeah, so that is dope.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to, lastly, I think I just want to say, like, Logic's low-key, like, on a pretty good 3-album run right now. with No Pressure, Vinyl Days, and El College Park.
Isn't there one in between?
Yeah, Bobby Tarantino 3 was a mixtape, though. So we can just discount that. Just pretend that never existed.
Oh, because that's
also because it's also worse.
So
than,
he comes back from retirement with a mixtape.
Yeah.
Not that, even
probably
a...
one of those get the label off my back mixtapes, but is I think it's kind of why it exists. But anyway. But that so that doesn't really count in this equation. Just like those three albums in a row, like he's on a good run right now, man. In this new phase of his career, so definitely looking forward to whatever comes next.
Yeah.
Because I think he's in a good place creatively. I think he's in a good... He seems like he's in a good place personally. And he's having fun with music again. And that was evident on Vinyl Days. It's evident on this. And so we'll see what he where he goes from here. What should we do about the song stuff?
I guess we'll just... I mean...
We can play a Vinyl Days song.
If you'd like.
You can play a clean song on Final Days because the
there is a clean version. It is still
He's
still under Def Jam at this point.
Yeah, so there's still like a enough of a there's enough similarities there with like the vibes of those albums that I think playing a Final Days track will work.
All right, I didn't listen to Final Days, so
okay. Well, I'm suggesting we play the song Carnival. Featuring AZ, who showed to AZ. That guy was the only feature on Nas's Illmatic way back when.
What?
Yes.
Logic loves that OG hip-hop, those OG hip-hop guys, though, man.
Yeah, and he brings RZA on to College Park as well.
Redman.
So, yeah. He's going back.
Royce to 5'9".
Royce to 5'9".
That's on... Anyways, so this is Carnival by Logic featuring AZ off of Vinyl Days.
Which is still a strong album, but not the one we talked about, unfortunately. So that sucks. All right, here we go. I like this. It's like you're creeping up on. What makes an MC? Let's trace his entry. For me, once embraced, left face in a frenzy. Faces envy with the grace of Pimp C. It's never complicated. The basics bend me from straight with 10 G's to Vase and Bentley's. School from the jump to lace them gently. Convince me, who cooler out in the Uber? Blowing ounces of Buddha, I know the routes to maneuver. Pursuer, let's speak about it. I keep it stylish from heat to phallus. To fornicating at Caesar's Palace. Balance, both feet on the concrete. Calm and meek, though that heat is in my arm reach. From Palms Beach to the Pretty Sands and the Turks. 50 grand dispersed, never plan for the worst. Let me work. I voted just how I quoted. It's hopeless trying to decode it. I'm Moses now for the moment. Hey, yo, lights on it. We knew that. Guns drawn, where the loot at? Chilling at the crib up in Lupe and Lupac. Rhyming since 2001. I'm Stanley Kubrick. Shining with my eyes wide shut like it's clockwork. Full metal jacket got you walking artwork. Rapping is a way of life. All this money just a perk. Go berserk on the beat machine work till I'm spacing out like Captain Kirk. Wanna know my network? Mother got 10 milli. That's cute. You ain't in my network. My money oceans 11. Y'all snatching a purse. Black and white like clerks. Take them to church with the verse. Chopping samples with Doc in another universe. It's God level. The rebel. Nobody could rebel. I'm sick as the devil. I'm Dwayne Johnson. You pebble presidential with the bezel. Never wonder when bezel my big. My money gross. Let's toast to excess. Peep the success. I'm in the middle of little, literally, literally. No way you could ever get rid of me. Cause I started from the bottom. The basement of garbage. Now I'm on top. And you talking. Nah, you mad that I'm rich. You mad that I made it. I'll rub it in your face and paint it in your blood just to illustrate it. Leave these castrated and faces exacerbated. Spend all day talking about me. You fascinated. I'll rip your intestines out of your abdomen through your and choke you with them. I'm sicker than venom. I'll murder you like OGs in prison due to child molesters and rapists of women. I'm a beach shark that grew legs in a bar from swimming. You know I started from the bottom. Flows, I got them. Bars, I got them. Yeah, you know I got them. Leave you stuttering to get out like Joe Biden. Riding in the whip with the homies on some ass city. It's that gritty. Brooklyn 9-5, New York City. You can hate me now, P. Diddy. I started from the bottom, man. I really did. And everything they say is true when you get really big. I made it.
Discover Noreen Braun's album Songs for Trees, dedicated to the forests and the spirits within the trees. As we fight climate change, trees are the lungs of the planet and we need to help them. Her jazz and blues are blended with rock and synthesized pop elements to create a textured and ambient soundtrack to nature. Songs for Trees is a narrative, with each song guiding us through a journey through the forest. A trip, literally and metaphorically, about the interconnectedness of all things. The Vancouver Sun names it one of five albums you need to hear. Find out more at noreenbraun.com.
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has an naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
And we're back.
Welcome back, welcome back.
For our final topic.
Final 15 minutes.
Of the day.
Speaking of strong three-album run, the last record we'll talk about, Afterlife by Yeet.
God bless Noah Smith.
Something we kind of have to talk about, I feel like, because Yeet is kind of, Yeet's record streamed the best this week. Better than, actually, you know what, it probably didn't stream better than Carol G, but of English artist dropping, it streamed better than Gracie Adams, it streamed better than Don Toliver, which I only bring that up because
it's kind of, it's kind of crazy.
It is, because, I mean, for those of you who don't know, maybe we'll play a Yeet song. I don't even, like, it just, the music that Yeet makes is Yeet, kind of hilarious.
Yeet is, he's a rapper, he exists in the rage subgenre.
Is that what
rap.
You call that?
I feel like, I think it is, which is sort of the style of music that Playboi Carti's album Whole Lotta Red inspired. Yeet's style, whether he'll admit it or not, I think is very much indebted to Playboi Carti. And Young Thug as well.
His first mixtape was 2018, though. So this is before Playboi Carti's Raging. This is before even Die Lit.
Yeah, but still.
I think that he has his own sound. I think that's why he's so... I also think that this record... So, continue.
The first thing I ever thought of when I first heard Yeet...
What was the first Yeet song?
It was probably something you played.
Sorry About That?
It's probably Sorry About That. Something you would have played me. And just the first... thing I thought about was just this. I feel like it's just the consequence of Playboi Carti's existence almost. I feel like he takes like Playboi Carti style and I think a little bit of like Young Thug and he takes sort of the stereotype or I guess like the stereotype of those artists and their sounds, basically, for lack of a better term, and just cranks it up to 11. With the energy, the repetitiveness, it's unintelligible. So much of what he says.
So much of what he says are just his words.
Yeah, it's like, just words that he is
he's
making.
Created.
Yeah, that he's making up, and it's just this mind-numbing.
It's awesome, man.
Stupid, like intellectually stupid music that obviously
he just keeps getting bigger, man.
But he just keeps getting bigger. Like, when you first showed him to me, I don't feel like there was any major, like, Yeet buzz. Like, it was exclusively underground. And over the past few, past year, basically, the guy has blown up and is
And this is without TikTok. Yeet's not, like, on TikTok, as far as I know.
There is Yeet stuff that makes the rounds on TikTok,
though. But, like, Yeet fans are not, like, Die For You went number one again because, like, it blew back up on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeet fans are not the people who, like, blow stuff back up on TikTok.
No, like, it's nothing like that. It's just this underground hype that's now spilling over, and it's becoming more and more discussed, you know, in like the mainstream,
yeah,
kind of.
Which is why we're gonna bring it up, because usually we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we kind of have to. I mean, you sent me a thing where Fantano said Afterlife is better than Whole Lotta Red.
Yeah,
which is pretty funny. I mean,
he gave it a 7.
I didn't watch it yet. Oh. I didn't watch that yet because I didn't want to, like...
Okay.
But, I mean, he features himself 3 times, which is just, like, the most Yeet thing ever.
Hey, man,
I think
Jake
that there
did it first.
I think that you can see, like, progress in his sound here, though. Like, if you, like... So, like, let me say it this way. So, when I first showed you Sorry About That, let's say, like, if we had a picture of Yeet, mm-hmm, and... Because he used to be everyone's like, oh, he's carried by the production. This is, he's like a production guy. Shout out Benny X.
Yeah.
Who's kind of awesome.
He's the Yeet's producer,
like,
of so much of,
like,
this stuff.
Yeet's like, oh, Yeet's one of those guys who's carried by the production. So, like, let's say, like, we had, if Sorry About That is, like, if we have a picture of Yeet and Sorry About That is, like, the saturation is, like, Yeet has, like, red eyes. Like, the saturation is crazy. You know what I'm talking about? Like, when you saturate a photo so much that they have red eyes and everything,
okay,
else.
Yeah.
So that's what Sorry About That sounds like. This sounds like he's just kind of, like, tinted a bit.
It's a clear view?
Yeah, it's not as, like, mm-hmm, it's not as, like, crazy rage. He has, like, strings and half, like, the there's 22 tracks, and they're all, like, reels. None of them are, like, a minute long. They're all,
no,
like,
yeah,
between 3 and, like, it's, like,
that
an
is
hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, that is an evolution. You know, Yeet stuff kind of before this was a lot of two minute-ish songs, just these quick songs that'll punch you in the,
yeah,
face, and then you move on to the next. There is a lot of 4 minute songs on this album.
Yeah, the production is insane. It's amazing. Benny X is great. I love his work on Zach Fox is similar, which is crazy that Benny X is like this uber talented guy who works with these guys who are considered to be like kind of gimmicks or jokes. Obviously, Zach Fox is a comedian. So,
mm-hmm,
but like halfway down, we have like there's like multiple songs with like steel guitars and strings and like what sounds like an orchestra, but obviously it's not. I mean, it's fun. I don't know really what else to say, is that there is evolution here. Like he's no, which,
yeah,
is crazy.
There
which is crazy.
There
which
is. There is growth. There is different things going on.
Which is the craziest part of this record. Is,
yes,
that you and I were both like, oh man, he can't do another one of these. Another one of these Sorry About That's where,
yeah,
like...
the bass is just going to blow your head off.
Yeah,
and the flow is a word soup.
Yeah, and it's like, which I actually love when he does that. I think it is
pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But this is his most coherent,
yeah,
album. It's the easiest I've ever... been able to understand what he's saying. I
cannot believe that, dude. Because and for those of you who don't know, Yeet is notorious for being insanely drugged out when making his music.
Yeah.
Like on his Wikipedia page it says that he like LSD is like an inspiration for his music or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's on his Wikipedia. But this, like, there's clearly sound progression, which is so, it's actually kind of cool, which, I mean, I guess he'll be around in the long term. Like, his production has shifted. He's no longer, unfortunately for me, he's no longer doing like the where he kind of sings.
Mm-hmm.
This is more like rapping. And he's rapping on all these different beats. His,
yeah,
flows are always different just because,
yes,
he's just doing whatever he wants. He has the best ad-libs in the game. Just like the screaming and like the bird noises that are coming from him.
With all this being said, though,
yes,
granted, I gave this album the least amount of listening compared to what I listened to, compared to Logic.
Yeah, there's a lot to listen to this week.
Don Toliver, I listened to those more than I listened to this. I don't like this.
No,
album,
yeah, it's
man.
Hard. I mean, it's not
hard to
Finn
get
Hart.
Through. For the last, do you want to know what? Okay, what I did to get through the last five songs on this album,
I had to pull the lyrics up.
Is I played a Yeet song, and then I queued in a Logic song from College Park just to remind myself, and then I alternated that for like the last five songs because I just needed to remind myself of what like actually good music sounds like. Because there was parts of this album where I'm not hating what I'm hearing.
No, the intro track is so good, dude.
Yeah, no, the intro's good. But, like, just in throughout the album, like, there's parts of it that, like, I'm not necessarily hating what I'm hearing. But I'm hearing just, like, what feels like just nothingness. But it's, there's sounds.
I think that's kind of the point.
There's sounds, and there's, like... some of the songs, it's like it's a really thin instrumental and Yeet's just kind of going
yeah, like
it.
The song where he features himself
and the melody on the beat might be fine, so I might be hearing it and being like, this isn't, you know, awful. And then you go to like a song on College Park and it's like, oh wait, no, this is what music's supposed to sound like, kind of. And what Yeet's making here is just
genius, though. It's genius, man. What he
its
can
own
do is,
its own thing.
It's his own thing.
But
and it's not something you can listen to every day.
No, it's the sound is not. I can't listen to 22 consecutive songs of this, man.
Like, and with all of that said,
over an hour of runtime on this album, I can't listen to an hour straight of Yeet, man. I can't. I think he's funny for a song or two, and I like that he exists, but man, oh man, I don't, and all the stuff you said with good amount of praise you've been giving it and stuff is true.
Like, it's a grain of salt. Like, it is, I mean, I don't know how to describe this is the point.
It's
like,
it's very much
it's funny
thing,
to me,
but it's
like, I'm not going to walk around and have this playing.
No.
I'm going to play this when people are over and it's like... And
yeah,
it's,
you're going to play
fun.
This when
it's
people
fun.
Are over and you want to see what they get a reaction.
Yeah, yeah,
out of
I want to see what's going on. Like when we played it with Connor.
Yeah. But
now with everything you've said...
But I just can't. I can't do it. I can't do it for a full album, bro. I can't do it, man.
Unfortunately, you'll have to do it for a full live show.
We are going to a
Yeet
concert.
We do have tickets to go see. But that's something I think we have to experience.
As, oh man! Yeah,
as into music we're as into music as we are, we have to see a live Yeet show.
Yeah, because I think the live show could be insane.
Well, the fans. I mean, if
I could lose a tooth.
Yeah, dude. A real twist doesn't show his face too, so we gotta go get some like masks or something. Anyways, we have 2 minutes left, so we'll play half of the intro track just because
it's pretty good, and you can get a sampling of. What like good Yeet can be.
Yeah, and I think if you've never heard Yeet, us talking about it in this kind of weird way where we're like, you know, like we'll finish the show with the intro track No More Talk.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's so fun. I just think he's so funny and good. Good in this funny way.
Yeah. Like I enjoy that song. One of the high points on the album. Yeet in spurts is fine, but I just can't do it for 22 songs in a row. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And you're going to hear the song.
And you're going to see it.
And you're going to understand exactly what we've been talking about. With that being said.
This was Music on the Menu.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Yep. Stay tuned to the station, of course. Dunkin's Donuts should be coming up next.
We'll close this with No More Talk off of Yeet's. I want to say this is his second studio record because he drops mixtape after mixtape.
Yeah.
This is the intro track, No More Talk.
I'm working on dying.
Penny X.
Riding with my demons, I can take nothing back. Ride with my demons, then my deal is wings. Money make them do something.